B-Pod Studios.
Ahoy.
Yes. May I speak at the Dick's Jockey, please?
May I ask him who's calling?
You most certainly may. Mm-hmm. Can you let him know that his worst nightmare is on line one, please?
Certainly. And again, the name is Worst Nightmare?
Well, it's Sister Sarita Williams.
Sarita, this is Stan. Why are you my worst nightmare?
I apologize. I thought I was talking actual little old producer. I thought he would find some joy in a little joke.
Well, no. You know what? I answered the phone for a change.
Your producer seemed like a nice man.
He's a good guy.
I like to bring a little old smile to a face.
But you want to bring a smile to my face?
I wish I could. Sadly, sir.
Ma'am?
I have been informed by a colleague of mine.
A colleague? In what line of work a colleague of yours? You do nothing.
Well, I don't do nothing, sir.
You're
raise my children.
Yes.
And one of them happened to be what I like to call a bookworm.
Yeah, that's Malcolm.
He's good for nothing.
How old is Malcolm?
Oh, I don't know. You mean like what grade is he in?
Yeah, okay. What grade is he in?
I'm not entirely sure.
All right. You're a good mother. But I know he's the one that's going to amount to something in your household because he likes to study. He likes to know his history.
Sir,
ma'am?
Sir, please. I love all my children, but this boy can't throw a ball to save his life.
Everybody's good at something, and he's going to be the smart one. He's going to be the one that's going to be like a senator or a congressman or a doctor. Or a lawyer.
I don't know who you think you're fooling, sir. He can't defend himself. He's a little old bookworm.
Okay, okay.
But the one advantage that has is he go to what they calls the magnet school.
Mm-hmm. That's for the smart kids.
Uh-huh. Well, the smart stuff, because they send him home with a little old pad. Like a telephone.
It's like an iPad? Is that what it is? iPad or a tablet?
Yeah, my pad.
iPad, not my pad.
And it's a little old screen.
Yes, ma'am.
But it works like a telephone, and you can dial on to the internet.
Okay. It's a computer device. It might be, if it's not an iPad, it's like some kind of Android.
Uh-huh. And I've had this for several weeks now, and it's amazing how you can do the communication. I've been in contact with a Miss Facilla Sanderson.
Facilla Sanderson.
Facilis. Miss Facilla Sanderson. She's in the greater Chicago area.
Yes, ma'am.
And she monitors hate radio and whatnot there.
Okay.
But she was explaining to me that there's even worse things than hate radio, such as your program. And there's something called the YouTube.
YouTube. That people can put their... You can probably find it on your little hand computer there. They got the YouTube.
Because of the you could actually get a letter through the pad.
Yes, you can. How are you just discovering it?
Uh-huh.
And another thing, they gave that to Malcolm to help him with his schoolwork. What are you doing hanging on with it for like 3 weeks and keeping it from him? That's his, not yours.
Well, I took it away from him because he don't deserve it. But that's beside the point.
The school gave it to him.
Uh-huh.
He's a magnet student. He's a smarty pants. They gave him that. It helps him with his studies. You took it from him because he doesn't deserve it?
If he's all that smart, he don't need this. I do. Don't tell me how to raise my children, sir.
Ma'am, so you can look at YouTube and talk to Facilis Anderson?
Facilis.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, right there in my living room, by the settee.
By the what?
The settee. The settee.
What's a settee?
By the China cat.
I didn't know your house was so stylish.
I'm very proud of my house. We have one of the most beautiful Davenports in the neighborhood.
Okay. All right. I can picture it. Okay. So you get the YouTube.
And I even have a dry bar.
What's a dry bar?
That's where you set your liquor cabinet.
Just call it a liquor cabinet. It's where you keep the bottles of stuff.
That's the dry bar, please.
Okay.
I paid extra for that.
Okay.
Now, I look at these moving pictures. Evidently,
yes,
the Chicago Tribune have done this, and it's moving pictures like you was there of a gang of Max teenagers.
A gang of what teenagers?
Max.
Come on, Sarita. Masks. Not Max.
That's what I believe I said, and I did not stutter, sir.
Max. Masks. A gang of masked teenagers.
Max.
Okay.
And they was beating up on a Chinaman. a little old bad boy minding his own business.
Oh, man.
And they steal him from his shoes to his book bag and kicking him when he's down. And you know what they calling him?
What?
The N-word.
They're calling the Asian boy the N-word as this gang.
It's just a little old Chinaman.
They don't call it Chinaman. You know what? You are a woman who looks and talks about racism, anti-Semitism, all
exactly
of it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. They got this on the ground, and they calling him the N-word. There was not a person of color at all.
So are you saying these were white boys?
Well, the one that was unmaxed.
Masked.
The one that was unmaxed was a white boy.
Okay.
And they keep on beating this poor Oriental boy.
Asian. This poor Asian boy.
They kicking the wonton out of him, if you know what I mean.
Kicking the wonton out of him. Will you stop that, Sarita?
Yeah, they made his face look like a plate of Kung Pao chicken.
Do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself? And why are the two of you, you're a lady, Ms. Sanderson, what's her name, Salita Sanderson?
Let's just say Miss Facilius.
Miss Facilius. Why are the two of you exchanging YouTubes of these violent attack things going on? Why?
Well, because we experience violence here.
Uh-huh.
She experienced violence up there. This was evidently was filmed by the Chicago Tribune.
Okay, so.
And I have no idea why the Chicago Tribune would send a cameraman out there to film this. They could have made the arrest after they hit him the first time. Why they let him ground him in the hamburger meat?
Are you sure it was the
paint? I'm sorry, not hamburger meat, more like fried rice or whatever.
Kung Pao chicken.
Uh-huh.
General Tso's spicy chicken.
But I'm just amazed at the power in this little old pad, because she tell me that, and then I tell her what's going on down here.
Like, what's going on down here? Is there anything I need to know about what's going on down here, Sarita?
Well, I would hope that despite the fact that your heart is black,
Blue black, my friend. Black as coal.
that you would agree that people should not be picked on because of their heritage.
I agree.
Or the name that their mama and daddy gave them.
I agree.
Because it's come to my attention that recently a Haitian family have moved into our neighborhood, and we welcome them. But those children are having difficulties at school. And I congratulate Jamar because he admitted to making fun of these children. And he admitted it to me. And he knew he was wrong. Well, but it was that same pack mentality that Ms. Sifler said.
Miss Syphilis. Go ahead.
And they say even the teacher was laughing when they go to call roll call. We need to be educated that there's different cultures and different things.
Yeah. We need to be educated on this. You're going to lead the way because you are more racist, prejudiced than any other. Ma'am, you are. Listen to the way you talk.
Where do you come off with that?
You're talking about
sticking up for that Chinaman.
Oh, you're calling him a Chinaman. His face looks like kung pao and fried rice.
I don't care if it is
you're calling
the deserve to be beat like that and called the N-word.
You're more concerned about the N-word being used because to you, that's a derogatory term. But yet you have no problem calling him whatever the hell you're calling. How dare you?
You racist.
Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haiti, Stan and Haiti, Stan and Haiti, on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haiti, Stan and Haiti, Stan and Haiti, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
miss us when we're gone. Thankfully, we're not going anywhere. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Wednesday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. You know what? You last week, couple of weeks ago, got me really reading up on the Universal Fire and all the master tapes that were lost.
Oh, you mean the fire that happened in 2008,
right,
but they kept it really quiet,
yep,
and pretended like there's nothing to see here?
I just read an article. It was in Variety. The New York Times writer did a follow-up. They did. There's some tomfoolery going on here. They went and dug deeper and found...
Well, in the story of that fire is that it was evidently masters from everybody to Bing Crosby to Nirvana.
Every master tape under the sun, practically, every artist that you could possibly think of had master tapes stored there that were burned down and nobody told anybody. Big New York Times article about it said bigger than anybody ever thought, master tapes. So Variety just put something out. This is scary. And who's making the decisions? Variety just put out an article.
Well, what did they know? When did they know it?
And how did they determine what was important and what was not important? It's all important as far as I'm concerned. But
as far as a historical record, it's all important.
But you gotta get a load of this. Where did I have that? Oh, here it is. This is so scary. They did additional digging. What really was burned up?
And then the really scary thing is that you don't find out about it until 10, 11 years later.
Certain people knew, certain people didn't. An additional 700 artists' master tapes were lost that they at first didn't know about. Here's where it gets pathetic. And follow me on this, and then I'm going to tell you how a certain artist realized, finding out because he didn't know,
that masters don't exist.
Here we go. Universal, when all these master tapes were burned, this is in Variety, broke down the affected artists into A and B lists. These lists did not correspond with the famous letter grades that were on the masters with past and present superstars. People that made the A list. These were deemed, these are the ones we gotta figure out what we're gonna do. Include the Pussycat Dolls, Limp Bizkit, Chuck Mangione, Whitesnake. They were on the A list. Deemed to be among the company's greatest losses, along with less historically accessible acts. They concluded that these were great losses too. Muddy Waters, Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald, Joni Mitchell.
But compared to your Pussycat Dolls, they're on the B list.
But no, these were all the A's. On the B list, where they said, eh, you know, we'll figure out a way. We got other recordings on. We got other... The B-list included the likes of Merle Haggard, The Roots, Captain Beefheart, and the Neville Brothers. Those were the B-list masters that were lost. No great loss. We can find some as good quality as those. Person who did the New York Times follow-up spoke to several artists who tried to assemble archival projects over the years. One who was
told that his masters were burned.
And I think for the benefit of the portion of the audience that doesn't understand the difference, you some of you might be thinking, okay, let's say, you know, the recording tapes for an album made in the 70s or even the 90s get destroyed. Well, there are millions of copies of that record out there. No, we're talking about the master tapes of their session, which means that, let's say it's, keep it simple, make it a Nirvana song. On those master tapes, you have a tape of Kurt Cobain's vocal by itself.
Yep.
Guitar by itself.
You know how we play the isolated stuff.
You have Dave Grohl's drums, and those can then be remixed for different projects and what have you.
It is each individual thing, and the engineer puts it together.
Let's say it happened in Nirvana. Yes, we do have recordings of Teen Spirit that were made off of those master recordings, but it can't be manipulated.
Nope. The master recordings is the holy grail. That's where that's the genesis of it. And alternate takes, conversations
exactly.
that were going on during
the
session.
There's a lot more to it, but I could see a segment of the audience thinking, well, what's the big deal? We got plenty of tapes.
Richard Carpenter of the Carpenters was notified that I lost it. I can tell you.
You got to be careful with your fingers now.
I know. I got those fat fingers. Richard Carpenter of the Carpenters was notified in 2008 that his masters, a majority of the Carpenters' masters, somehow he knew. Well, he was real tight at A&M Records.
Yeah, he was a big wheel.
Brian Adams is quoted in here. He had started a project where he wanted to put out one of these boxed sets of all of his hits.
Yeah, and keep in mind on those masters also, there could be songs that didn't make the album.
And alternate takes.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian Adams, who had no idea his masters were burned up,
probably paid a pretty penny to make sure that they were in climate-controlled, secure storage.
So he's going to go and start putting together a boxed set of all of the outtakes and stuff. Suddenly, he realizes that there are
no masters.
And he described it in the article of, like, they never, as far as everybody's concerned, they don't exist.
Well, if nobody asked for them, don't say anything.
He didn't know. They literally don't exist. He put in requests to get his master's tapes for... Oh, no, not. We don't have them cataloged here. Really?
Where do you have them cataloged? In hell.
He described it, being interviewed, like they never existed.
That's his life's work.
Yep. And the fact of the matter is, they kept it quiet. Everybody listening to us right now, it's 2019. This happened in 2008. And there are artists just now realizing that their work is gone.
And the implications are tremendous. It happens many times on the way back when we're playing a song from the 70s or earlier, and Stan will go, that's the right singer, but that's not it.
Yep.
Because you might be thinking, well, what's the big deal? If the musicians are alive, they can recreate all this stuff. No, they can't.
No.
Brian Adams can perform his songs, but they won't sound the way that he sounded in 1980.
Yep. Let me give you one example of how important the master tapes are. Thank God the Beatles' master tapes are all over in England. But those things are locked up in a climate-controlled vault. Nobody touches them.
And this isn't a supposition on our part. We spoke to George Martin about it.
When they did Anthology, because George Martin was involved with it, he got his hands on the master tapes and was able to make Anthology. Here's the little tidbit. Every other Beatles specialty release since the mid-90s. They want to have the original mono set. They want to have the stereo set. They want to have that. They're not allowed to use the master tapes. You can use what we recorded in 1995 when we had access to the master tapes. But if you're going to go back in the vault and pull this out to put in a special box set of Beatles stuff, you're not using it. You're going to use what we have available from the 90s. You're not going in and touching that. That's what was burned up with all these thousands of artists at Universal.
And they still haven't named all of the material.
They just found 700 more that they had no idea with the first
time
they
looked. Tom Petty was a victim of it.
Yeah, it's a who's who.
Well, it's just a matter of finding out one by one because they won't tell anybody.
Yep.
And this happened over 10 years ago, and they're finding out now.
Yeah, unbelievable. We'll be back. Stan and Annie.
Making Mr. Beasley a wealthy man for most of our adult lives. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Are you smarter than Haney?
You are one of the most pessimistic people I have ever known.
I've learned the hard way. Smarter than Haney.
And you say things that aren't true.
Up for grabs. If you're smarter than Haney today, I'll get you a pair of tickets to go see Godsmack.
With you, you're a glass is a quarter full kind of.
Yeah, I have to. I have to see them when something good actually happens.
You don't trust it.
I'm surprised. It's a good feeling.
You still believe you're getting married?
Yeah.
You believe that?
I do.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But how long did it take you to realize that that was a possibility?
I don't know. A couple of decades?
Figured at some point she'd see through you, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The other shoe would drop. What am I looking at? Okay. I see that.
That's beyond what I told you when I came.
All right. I see that.
Yeah?
Don't worry about it. That's our. That's private business.
I understand that.
It's private business.
You are so pessimistic.
This is the
show. And the few times that you've listened to me.
Give me the damn thing. I'll look at it with mine.
Are you telling me you don't even believe my information?
I believe. I want to look at mine. Pardon me. Pardon, folks. We're taking care of personal business right here.
Stan.
Hold on. Don't worry. I want to see what I got here.
I would just like to know.
Oh, yeah. It's up. Okay.
I would just like to know when I. And folks. It's not often that I give Stan advice. It's usually the other way around.
Right.
I'll admit that. But on the rare occasions that I have to get down on my knees and beg, and then that doesn't work, and I have to pick up a 2x4 with rusty nails, and you finally listen to me.
I listened to you. I did it.
And how has that served you in the past?
So far, so good. We're good.
You rat bastard.
Grab bag.
Why don't you believe me after all these years?
You see it right there.
Yeah, look, but again, 2 minutes ago, you were looking at me like, yeah.
Again,
nice call. Nice call.
Again, this personal business.
Well, we're gamblers.
Yeah, I know. Always have. Pewter Mug North.
But it's it's exhausting. You can see now, if you'd listened to me sooner.
Everything's fine. We're all good.
Why wouldn't you listen to me sooner?
Well, I just got to get around to doing it.
You admit it's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Go on. Thank you. Maybe you're right again, Haney?
Right again, Haney. Here's a little clip from an actual article in Housekeeping Monthly from...
Wait a second. There's a magazine called Housekeeping Monthly?
In the 50s.
Oh.
Here's another real tip on how to be a good wife from Housekeeping Monthly magazine in 1955.
Don't ask him questions about his actions or question his judgment or integrity. Remember, he is the master of the house and as such will always exercise his will with fairness and truthfulness. You have no right to question him. A good wife knows her place.
Join us next time for more tips from 1955 on how to be a good wife.
Can we have one more?
Please.
Here's another real tip on how to be a good wife from Housekeeping Monthly magazine in 1955.
touch up your makeup, put a ribbon in your hair, and be fresh looking. Your husband has been with a lot of work-weary people. Be a little gay and a little more interesting for your husband. His boring day may need a lift, and one of your duties is to provide it.
Join us next time for more tips from 1955 on how to be a good wife.
Yeah.
We had it all, Stan. How did we lose it?
Virginia Slims.
You're right.
Yeah, that was the end. Come a long way, baby.
Well, you know what it is? Women are not raised to respect men.
Nope.
They're not raised to respect their husband. The problem is, they're not raised to respect anybody.
Nope. Thus you get what you were talking about yesterday with that Hooters pageant winner. Doesn't like the word no.
No, the world revolves around them.
Yeah. Dateline, North Lauderdale, Florida. A guy pulled into a random driveway the other day and defecated right in the middle of it. Then he used his shirt to wipe and left the shirt behind.
What is the problem?
The guy who lives there.
This is the second day in a row that this has been an issue. The other one was with a judge.
Guy who lives there sounded at least understanding about it. I wouldn't be.
Wilton Thomas is trying to be understanding.
I know when it comes on for you to go, you have to go.
But you can imagine his frustration when he saw some dude dropping a deuce on his driveway.
Oh,
he could have drove himself right towards the coconut tree and do what he want to do there. That would be no problem. But in my driveway, just open his door and just start to pull his shirt all the way over and then stoop down, and that was it.
Thomas says when he got home, it was too late to take care of it right away, so he waited until Sunday morning to take on the turd.
I went in the hot sun, scrape it up, pour it into a bag, and then I pour bleach, wash the whole thing off.
He just wants an apology from the person responsible.
Knock and said, man, you know what?
That
I had
coming.
An emergency. I had nowhere to go, and this is where I had was to do what I have to do.
What?
I don't know.
Is there any way that we could get him isolated without the snarky little newsboy?
Well, I'd have to cut it up.
Let's just do it roughly. Can you replay that? I just want to experiment.
I don't know where the reporter goes.
It's all right. Just let the
reporter
play.
Wilton Thomas is trying to be understanding.
I know when it comes on for you to go, you have to go.
But
just let it play.
You can imagine his frustration
I'm thinking he could
when
be
he
the
saw
next
some
Harry
dude
Belafonte.
Dropping a deuce on his driveway.
He could have drove himself right towards the coconut tree and do what he want to do there. That would be no problem.
Yeah,
but in my
works.
Driveway, just open his door and just start to pull his shirt all the way over and then stoop down, and that was it.
Thomas says when he got home, it was too late to take care of it right away, so he waited until Sunday morning to take on the turd.
I went in the hot sun, scrape it up, pour it into a bag, and then I pour bleach, wash the whole thing off.
He just wants an apology from the person responsible.
Knock and said, man, you know what? I had an emergency. I had nowhere to go, and this is where I had was to do what I have to do.
And that's why I end up in the front of the coconut tree. In the hot sun.
La, da, da. He could be the next Calypso Louie.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Come this one. Yeah, you want to protect yourself. Yeah, you want to be, you know. But don't be this stupid. A guy was getting some firewood in a rural area outside Seattle earlier this month when he saw it. A 900-pound black bear in his driveway.
Bears are getting a little too sassy because people... people now think of them as, oh, we've encroached on their home. We need to respect. No, you need to shoot them.
So he's, you know, playing it safe. He has his shotgun with him. I think it was his shotgun. You know, you never know what you might run into when you're out there. And so he sees the 900-pound bear. He immediately starts to run, drops his rifle, and shoots himself.
Just walking through the driveway, and I hear this twig break. I turn and I saw the bear, 800 to 1,000-pound black bear. The weapon that I was carrying fell to the ground, and it went off. Came in through the back of my leg, through the top of my leg, and straight up. The worst pain imaginable. I didn't chase the bear. The bear chased me. Who in their right mind chases black bear? This is the most active bear season
survivors
that I've ever seen. I see the bear's face when I go to bed.
Did you see the story in the Daily Mail?
I did.
Oh, my God.
Where the guy looked like a mummy?
He's alive.
Yeah. Bear captured him and put him in his cave, save him later for some food.
It was like in central Russia. And it's like one of those stories where I can tell you about it, but you'll never be able to picture this.
He looks dead. He was like trapped in the cave.
A brown bear caught this guy and didn't eat him right away. Yeah, there he is. He's alive.
Yep.
And the brown bear broke this guy's back.
Yep.
Took him back to his den and left him there for a month. And they're talking to this guy because the only way they found him is a couple of hunters were out there and their hunting dogs were just off the chain going into the cave to find this guy. And the hunters were like trying to, that's a bear cave, come on. And the dogs wouldn't let up, and they went in there, and they thought he was dead because he looks that way. And then he goes to the hospital, and this guy is covered. I mean covered in his own flesh rotting. Mm-hmm. And they asked him, how did you stay alive for a month in the bear cave? And all they can get out of him is my own urine.
Yeah.
That's not enough to sustain a person for a month.
No. And the thing is that he claims that the bear was saving him for food. You know, a little storage there.
But, I mean, this is one of the creepiest things I've ever seen, because they're showing the guy, and he's on the hospital bed, and you think that this is a murder victim. Yeah. Something horrible has happened to him. And they are shooting his body with the camera, and then they move up to the head. And then the Russian person, I guess, says, what is your name? And he can only open one eye, and it's bright blue. And he goes, Alexander? If that doesn't spook the hell out of you, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
I could not believe that.
That's pretty...
That is as close to death as I think you can get and still be alive.
Yeah, he looks dead.
I mean, and they didn't even say, is he going to make it?
Don't know. It's Russia.
It is Russia, so I guess if he's...
Trickling details.
I guess if he's made it for a month in a bear cave, you know, if they give him some of those Russian drugs, he'll probably, you know, just grow an extra limb and go on his way.
You know... There are car dealerships all over the country. You have some in our metropolitan areas like your Naples and your Fort Myers, where you get a lot of traffic, a lot of people coming. Then there are the rural dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to have a way to bring in customers.
A lot of those places are located in geographic regions that they'll call, you know, the Inland Empire.
Right. Car dealership in Alabama is offering a sweet deal for the 4th of July if you come in and buy yourself a new truck.
We're going to be celebrating July 4th a little bit differently this year. Everyone that comes into our dealership and purchases a new pre-owned or certified pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, they're also going to get a Bible, an American flag, and also... 12-gauge shotgun.
There
it's tough
go.
To sell here, obviously, in Chatham, Alabama. We're not in a big market, and this has given us a platform to reach a lot more people and sell a lot more cars. So, yes, this has really given us the opportunity to talk to customers we previously couldn't reach.
That's good.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I'd like to know.
Because here I go.
Again.
Yep. Pizza Hut is bringing back their classic logo. The Pizza Hut logo that from the 80s.
Pizza Hut, pizza to go. It's a made-in-the-pan extravaganza with a tender golden crust. Pizza Hut, pizza to go. Dripping with pure mozzarella cheese and loaded with all your favorite toppings. Pizza Hut, pizza to go.
Hello, Pizza Hut.
That picture, that face picture of that guy that was in the bear den.
Yeah.
Send that to me, Rob. I'm going to use that as my profile picture on Facebook.
That looks more like me.
It does. It does look like you.
That poor son of a bitch, man.
Yeah. I got a couple of more things to do. We'll come back and finish them up on the grab bag, which has been brought to you by the Pewter Mug North.
Imagine. That guy's been in a bear cave for a month. Can you imagine the thoughts that have gone through his head?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got time to think when the bear's out scavenging. When the bear is
out hunting. That might be true the first time, but the bear made it pretty clear he was saving him for later.
But when is later?
So the bear might come in and, you know, eat a pheasant while staring at him.
Yep. And maybe that's what he did. He picked up maybe some of the leftovers.
Just carrion?
Yeah.
Some awful.
Yeah. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Southwest Florida's only radio show powered by alternative energy. Our show is produced through a volatile combination of superheated air and methane. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
I want to say a big howdy-do to Colin. I was in my local Publix. And I was getting ready to grab a carriage to get into the grocery store.
Yeah.
And Colin was on his way out, asked if I was Stan. I said I was. Big fan of the show. Listens every day. And so a big howdy-do to Colin.
I thought his show was on at the same time as ours.
Yeah, well, it switched when it switched networks from ESPN to Fox.
Yeah, I figured he'd be a fan.
Yes. Free event talking about Mattress Firm. That pillow of yours getting flatter? Are your soft plush sheets from more than 2 years ago not so soft and plush right now? For a limited time, during the 4th of July free event, the more you buy, the more bed accessories you get for free. Do you hear me?
Free.
Free.
That's the operative word.
Yes, here, take a listen to this. At Mattress Firm's free event, you can take home a free adjustable base, two free memory foam pillows, and a mattress protector when you take home a mattress for just $7.99. That's like $856 worth of free bed accessories.
And do you know how awesome it is? You and I both know.
Yep.
And they bring you your bed and in this case your free stuff.
Yep.
And they set it up. You don't have a problem in the world. Nope. They take your old stuff out, yep, put the new in, and boom.
They have a deal.
And you get the free adjustable base.
Yep. Now
you even get the pillows.
Keep in mind, it's a deal for every budget. If it's $7.99 is just a little out of your price range, how about take home the free adjustable base or two free memory foam pillows or the mattress protector, one or the other, still at the unheard of value of $699, completely free. And on top of this, up to $400 savings across the store.
I'm sorry, but, you know, price range, okay. But you said $7.99.
Yeah.
But if you spend that $7.99, yeah, they're going to give you $856 in accessories on them.
Correct. The free event.
I'm not that great at math, but that sounds like you might be coming out ahead of the game.
Yeah. At Mattress Firm.
Free?
Free. Free. There you go. 877-9600 is the telephone number here into the studio. By the way, in about 20 minutes or so, are you smarter than Haney? Godsmack tickets if you're smarter than Haney. We've got a few more things left on the grab bag as well. So let's take care of a couple of these things.
The grab bag continues?
The grab bag.
Lemonade is still illegal. When you sell it at a lemonade stand, what could be the problem? Oh, right. Fines, fees, and other bureaucratic baloney. It's time to legalize lemonade. Contact your local rep. Spread the word. Use word of mouth, social media, fax. Whatever it takes to get lemonade legalized in all 50 states. Take a stand for lemonade stands. Find out more on how to change laws in your state at countrytimelegalaid.com.
Country Time Legal Aid.
You know, that is just one example, and the examples are numerous. Was doing a little reading last night about the law.
Yeah.
And there was this one lawyer that was pointing out examples and using the Supreme Court as an example. There are so many laws on the book that even if you believe you're completely innocent, you're probably guilty. They can get you for something. Yeah. And he used a great example as to how laws are passed pretty easily and how you can get trapped in it. Let's say the example he used was what they call a short lobster. And let's say you're in Nevada, where they're always bringing in lobsters, and you buy some lobsters at the sea market. If they're watching you and they want to get you, if that lobster does not meet the standards of the state of Maine, you can be taken down on a federal charge if they wanted to. And then he shows you the law that it came from, and it's something called the Lacey Act. And as you're reading it, it first seems perfectly reasonable that the laws regarding wildlife and things like that, that if it's illegal in any state, then it's illegal for you. And then it continues, though. Any tribal laws about wildlife would be enforced on you. But then it goes a step further. And laws of any foreign country. I don't know how that got passed, but it did. So if you've got some sort of exotic boid and they've decided in Belize that it's illegal to have that boid, well, it's illegal in the United States now under the Lacey Act.
If it comes from Belize.
No.
Well, that don't
doesn't
make
matter
sense.
Where
this
it came from.
United States of America.
But his point was, they pretty much admitted in open court that there are more laws than even they can keep track of.
This is even worse.
And if that was challenged, I think it would be overturned.
Well, then you're going to pay a lot of money in legal fees.
Indeed.
This is even worse. We've always said Big Brother is listening. You got the devices in
listening,
your home.
Listening, watching.
You've got your phone. You've got all of this stuff. Because when you go on your computer, if you've gone and started to look into...
Well, and you notice how cheap TVs have gotten? You know why? Because they don't view it as selling hardware anymore. They sell it pretty much as close to cost as they can because of all the apps on there. They get kickbacks for that and the spying.
And you get on the screen and you see the clickbait and mm-hmm. you say, wait a second. I was just going to go and check that out. It's almost like you're listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
CBS this morning had the head of Instagram on and asked him, you listening to us? Listen to this. Said,
well, they got a lot of explaining to do.
Said
after yesterday.
You're completely wrong. It's dumb luck that what you see on the screen.
Uh-huh.
And here's how he explains. We're not listening to you. It's just dumb luck that that clickbait suddenly showed up there.
There's two ways that can happen. One is dumb luck, which can happen. The second is you might be talking about something because it's top of mind, because you've been interacting with that type of content more recently. So maybe you're really into food and restaurants.
Yeah.
You saw a restaurant on Facebook or on Instagram. You maybe like the thing. It's top of mind. Maybe that's subconscious, and then it bubbles up later. I think this kind of happens often in ways that are really subtle, but we don't look at your messages. We don't listen on your microphone. Doing so would be super problematic for a lot of different reasons.
Liar.
I'm assuming you saw the latest from Project Veritas.
What?
You really didn't?
I'm serious. I'm not diving deep into a lot of stuff.
Well, this wasn't deep.
What?
James O'Keefe, who runs Project Veritas, has been showing how different social media sites are biased against conservatives.
Yes.
He did it with Pinterest.
It's been proven.
Where they, you know, listed an anti-abortion organization as a terrorist group. Well, he had an insider from Google.
Yes, I did see that.
And what this man was telling him, backed up with his hidden camera interview,
yes,
with a woman from Google,
woman,
who said, "We're working very hard to make sure that Trump never happens
She's
again."
Admitting that that's what we what they do,
and admitting,
yep,
that Congress will ask us to come and appear, and
yep,
sometimes we'll go, sometimes we won't. We let them yell at us, but they're not going to change anything,
yep,
we do.
Yeah, I saw her, little bitch.
But you've got people. And the thing that they're doing is they call it, and it's Orwellian, they call it fairness, which means that they make sure that you see their point of view, even though it's not the dominant one.
Remember how OJ went on Instagram and he said he's going to let some truth
out? I thought
out
it was Twitter.
Or Twitter.
And that he was going to get even.
Yeah,
he had to get back
sure
at people.
It yeah, it's Twitter. Yeah, Twitter. Well, he's using it for other purposes. Yesterday was the anniversary of Michael Jackson's death 10 years ago. The Juice wanted to go on Twitter and have fond memories of
the... He was unavailable when Michael died,
right,
with his condolences.
But memories of the King of Pop.
Michael found out, he called me and said, OJ, you got to take the kids up to Neverland Ranch. They love it. And I did. And it was wondrous. The kids would come up. They would bring some of their friends. And it was so great that I started bringing my adult friends up there. Michael was never there, but he always had gifts for the kids. My point is, I could never debate anybody about Michael Jackson. I didn't know enough about his private life to do that. What I do know is my experience with him is that he was a kind and generous soul. Rest in peace, Michael.
Thank you, Juice. You're on the loose. Smarter than Haney when we come back. Oh, this person's been on hold a while. Let me see what they want real quick. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is JD.
Hey, JD, what's up?
I got a quick story that goes along with your driveway story you had. My ex-wife had a Ford pickup with a cap on the back. Somebody broke in through the cap, split the sliding windows in the back window, realized there was nothing in there to steal, took a dump in the bed of the truck, and used her jacket to clean up with afterwards.
What the?
That's horrible. I don't understand that. And then the guy the other day throwing the feces at the judge.
I don't know what to make of that. Who uses that to express
devolving
themselves?
We're monkeys, baboons.
Yeah, well, you didn't believe me when I had you watch Idiocracy.
Right.
Believe me now.
Smarter than Haney. Next.
It's a new era for America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same.
Yep.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, gang, Stan and Haney here. Wednesday afternoon, about 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. But Wednesday means one thing, and that's the lovely Karen in studio as we get a random Stan and Haney listener to play Are You Smarter Than Haney? Hi, Karen.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's always good to see you.
Thank you.
I noticed that the market manager, Mr. Beasley, was questioning your being in the studio.
Yes, he was asking me if I win and if I answer questions. And I'm like, of course.
He didn't threaten me or anything.
No, absolutely not.
I guess he only does that to us.
Yeah, it's only us.
I think he's very nice to everybody else.
He is very nice.
What I hear, he's a delightful man.
Yes.
I wish I knew that side of him.
Yeah. I have not seen it. It's an unfamiliar side.
Well, that's because you're ungrateful.
Yeah. That's what he's always told me. And among other things. And,
yeah.
You know, killing the radio station.
Yeah.
And why do we pay you so much?
Yep.
I said, you don't pay me that much. And plus, you're the one that put the contract in front of me. It's not like I demanded. You said, here, sign this. I said, okay.
And then you go, well, I guess I can go. I had come in to ask for a raise.
Yeah. No need to pursue it any further. You know, cost of living goes up, rent goes up, insurance goes up. And then I say, can I have a cost of living increase?
No, what you got to do is trick them.
Yeah, how's that?
Brad, look, man. You know how it is. I just need some cola.
Ah, well, if that's all you want.
Then you get the paperwork.
Right, yeah.
And then he comes back and asks you, how did I approve this? Well, I asked you for a cola.
Well, didn't I get you one?
No, it stands for cost of living adjustment.
Yeah.
You got to trick him.
If it gets past him, it doesn't get past corporate.
That's true. And then he's mad.
Yeah, and then he's mad that I tricked him.
Yep.
Are you smarter than Haney? Six categories.
And then you get that dressing down. You think you're real clever, man.
Six categories. First person to get all six categories.
Well, let me tell you something, buddy boy. You're too smart for your own good.
Yep, been told that too. Karen is your lifeline. You
yes.
know that. Karen will answer one of your categories for you. Only one. You must call on Karen to answer that category before we ask the question. You cannot have won anything in the last 60 days. If you defeat Haney, you're going to get a pair of tickets to go see Godsmack. These aren't even on sale yet. Godsmack is going to be at Hertz Arena on Wednesday, October 2nd. You cannot have won anything in the last 60 days. You must, to even be eligible for a prize, get at least two right, so you can't tank it to get the Godsmack tickets.
And, you know, just want to take a second to thank you, Karen, for coming in.
Thank you, of course.
You are such a ray of sunshine for us, because, as you know, we are problematic misogynists, and it's just so nice to have someone in to balance us out.
I appreciate it. It's a fun time. It's a fun time.
Let's play Are You Smarter Than Haney?
If you think you are smarter than me, I would like to see you.
Problematic.
And got prizes yours for free. If you prove you're smarter than me, it's not easy, it's hard work.
Hard work.
Stand strict questions, what a f***ing jerk. All those prizes yours for free. Matching wits with Mark Haney. You're a contestant, stands the host.
Hi, everybody.
I'm the one who knows the f***ing most. If you dare to disagree, simply prove you're smarter than me. I'm a genius,
you're a slob.
I must beat you, that's my f***ing job. If you think you're smarter than me, I politely disagree.
2779600. You cannot have won anything in the last 60 days. If you answer correctly, you will hear this. Incorrectly, yeah, taking too much time, you lose. Random does not necessarily mean the first caller I answer. You got to have a good, clean connection. You got to be willing to play the game and know how the game is played. Karen.
Release the phones.
Phone lines are released. This is for Godsmack tickets. 277-9600. Are you smarter than Haney? 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Mark from Naples.
Mark from Naples. Have you won anything from us in the last 60 days, Mark?
Have not, sir.
Would you like to challenge Haney in Are You Smarter Than Haney, Mark?
I absolutely would.
All right, say hi to Karen. She's your lifeline.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Mark. Good luck today.
Thank you.
All right, the way this works is if your opponent cannot answer the question and you have the category open, you can steal it. Category closed, you can't. Here are the categories. Geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature. Science. Sports and leisure. As always, we begin with Mark Haney. Mark, category.
Geography.
In the category of geography, listen to the question, Mark, because if Haney can't get it, you can steal, all right?
Okay.
All right, in geography. Okay. Haney, in geography, which South American country has a name meaning water that goes into water? Water that goes to water.
Paraguay?
You are absolutely correct. It is Paraguay. Nice job. Mark, category.
Sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure for Mark. In the sports and leisure category. Mark, who was the first person to play in both a World Series and a Super Bowl? First to play in a World Series and a Super Bowl. Need an answer.
Don't know.
Haney, you can steal World Series and a Super Bowl.
And also known to be an excellent illegal fisherman.
Yes, indeed.
That would be Fort Myers' own Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders, you are absolutely correct, Haney, and you have control. Entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature.
History.
In history for Mark Haney. Remember now, Mark, you've got to get two right to be eligible for those tickets to Godsmack. All right, history. You all right over there, Mark? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we're doing fine. Thank you.
All right.
Seems a little distant.
I wouldn't say you're doing fine.
Right. Well, this is a good one. Who was the first left-hander to serve two terms as president? First left-hander.
That's odd.
Yeah, it is. First left-hander to serve two terms as president.
I really don't know. FDR?
No, that's incorrect, and I didn't know this either. Mark, you can steal it. First left-hander to serve two terms as president.
Bill Clinton.
You're right. It's Bill Clinton.
Good job, Mark.
Nice job. You're on the board, Mark, and you got control.
Let's go with...
Hold on a second. How did you know Bill Clinton was left-handed?
Lucky guess.
He took a guess. Mark, category, geography, entertainment, arts and literature, science and nature, science. Sports and leisure. You also have Karen as a lifeline.
I'm going to use Karen as my lifeline for science.
All right.
Let's
science.
Do this.
Karen for Mark in science and nature. La da da. in science and nature.
Science.
Thank you. Thank you. Karen, what berry has the highest antioxidant content? You know, they say, a berry is very high in antioxidants. What berry is the highest in antioxidants? Science and nature for Mark. Highest in antioxidants. Berry. A berry.
Is it raspberries?
Close, but incorrect. Haney, you can steal in science and nature. Highest in antioxidants.
Blackberry?
It is the blackberry.
Of course.
Absolutely. And Haney, you have
I
control.
I knew it was one or the other.
Entertainment, history, arts, and literature.
Well, while we still have a choice to be made, let's let Karen have a swing at it.
Karen, Haney's lifeline, entertainment, history, arts, and literature.
Let's just stick to entertainment.
All right. Entertainment for Haney. Let's see. La, da, da. Let me see which one I want to use here for Karen. All right. I think you might, hopefully you'd know this.
Okay.
For Haney in entertainment. Karen, what dance DJ was featured on Beyonce's Baby Boy? What dance DJ was featured on Beyonce's hit Baby Boy?
Boy, am I glad I got a lifeline here.
Oh, my gosh. No.
For Haney?
Yes.
In entertainment, what DJ was featured on Beyonce's hit Baby Boy?
Singing the song in my head. I just can't remember his name. Hold on.
Okay. Baby Boy.
Yes, he also sang Temperature.
Baby Boy. See, I don't know this stuff. I'm going to need an answer.
Yes. I can't think of his name. Sean. I can't think of his last name.
Oh, come on.
First name's good enough.
No, it's a two-name DJ. Come on. I need an answer.
It's not Kingston. Sean.
Is that your answer?
Sure.
Incorrect. You can steal, Mark.
Paul.
She gets it.
I you get did, that.
You did.
Yeah, she gets it. Come
you
on.
You did answer before.
I got the
Mark,
ding.
I'm going to give it. Judges say yes. And
there's my girl.
Okay. Nice job.
I couldn't remember his last name.
Nice
I can
job
see
on
all
that.
The songs and all the videos.
Mark, you got to get at least one more to even be eligible for the prize. Geography, entertainment, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure.
You got this, Mark.
That was awesome.
I was going through all the names.
What do you want, Mark?
Entertainment.
In entertainment for Mark. La-da-da-da.
Because, see, my answer would have been DJ Jazzy Jeff.
You know.
All right. Mark, are you ready?
I'm ready.
In entertainment, what David Bowie video from the Let's Dance album was censored because of nudity?
What video?
In entertainment, what David Bowie video from the Let's Dance album was censored because of nudity? Need an answer.
Gonna have to pass on that one.
Haney, you already have the category, but do you know?
No, I can only think of Let's Dance.
Do you want to?
I do not know.
China Girl. Oh,
just makes you sense. Hush your mouth.
Yeah. My little China girl.
That was very good,
Thank
Stan.
Thank you. Haney.
Very Bowie-esque.
Thank you. Thank you. Haney, history, arts and literature.
Arts and literature.
Arts and literature. We could be here a while.
Uh-huh. Everything was going so smoothly.
So smoothly. Let's see. Haney, in arts and literature, what musical is based on a series of children's books by P.L. Travers? What musical is based on a series of children's books by P.L. Travers?
Peter Pan?
Incorrect. You can steal, Mark, in arts and literature. What musical is based on a series of children's books by P.L. Travers?
So it's Peter Pan.
Answer, please.
Cinderella.
Incorrect. Anybody?
No, I don't know.
Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins. You have control, though, Mark. Geography, entertainment, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure. You got to get at least one more right to even be eligible for a prize. We are on the clock. We got about 7 minutes to play.
Science and nature.
Science and nature. Let's see. In science and nature, Mark, what tube connects the larynx to the lungs? What tube connects the larynx to the lungs?
Damn, I know this.
Of course you do.
Of course you do. 3 seconds. 3 seconds. I need an answer.
I can't.
Nope. You don't know? Sorry. Sorry. Haney, you already have the category. Anybody want to guess?
Is it the esophagus?
It's the trachea. The trachea. Haney, history, arts and literature.
History.
In history for Mark Haney. If he gets this right, it'll put him at match point. Wow. What? You got a lot of noise there. In history, Haney, what battle saw the final defeat of Napoleon?
Waterloo.
You are correct. Waterloo. History. That was a bell and a buzzer at the same time. All right, Haney, you're at match point. Mark, you've got control. You only have one right. Go ahead.
Let's try geography.
All right, geography for Mark. All right, Mark, what New York location is popularly called the crossroads of the world? What New York location is popularly called the crossroads of the world?
Manhattan.
Incorrect. It's in Manhattan, but we were looking for Haney.
Times Square.
Times Square. Times Square. Haney, match point in arts and literature. And if Haney gets this right, Mark, I'm sorry, but you won't be able to get the prize. So you're going to have to hope he loses.
That I lose?
That you miss this question.
Oh.
Haney, in arts and literature, what does Lucy charge for psychiatric help in the Peanuts cartoon strip?
5 cents.
Final answer?
25 cents.
You said 5 cents?
I said 5 cents.
Or is it 25
cents? I said 5 cents.
5 cents is your final answer.
Yeah.
You are absolutely correct. 5 cents, you win, Haney. And Mark,
you didn't
do well at all. You didn't even qualify for the prize. I mean, I would like to give you the prize, but you didn't do well at all.
I know. I should have said Times Square. I knew it.
You should have. It would have gotten you tickets. You want to try one on your own? Nobody. No.
Is there a redemption here?
Let's see if there's any kind of redemption. Pick any category you want. I will ask you one question.
Come on, Mark.
If you get it right, I'll get you the Godsmack tickets. If you don't get it right, I'm sorry. I'm hanging up on you. You don't win. This is a rare
thing. You don't
want
to do that.
I don't want to. This is redemption for you. Pick any category you want.
Let's go with entertainment.
Entertainment. And you have to... Haney can't steal. Karen can't help you. This is all you. All right?
I think Karen should be able to help.
No, she shouldn't.
You got this, Mark. You got this.
Listen carefully, Mark. What rock group set a precedent by issuing two albums on the same date in 1991? Rock group, two albums on the same date in 1991.
I'm going to say Queen.
I'm going to say you're going to leave empty.
What you should have said was Guns and Effing Roses.
Sorry about that, Mark.
Oh, man.
I gave him every opportunity.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it.
Nothing. I remember when that came. That was great anticipation when those albums were released.
Followed by great disappointment.
Yep. Yes. Yes. All right.
And I think it was then we knew there would never be another Appetite for Destruction.
Stan and Haney. Karen, thank you.
Of course, my pleasure.
Stan and Haney.
Nice job on Sean, what's his name?
96K Rock.
Two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage.
A nice enough guy, but way too much baggage, if you know what I mean.
Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Love it. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciate it.
That's all there is to it.
Do you want to reveal it yet?
Well, I just wrote a hit song.
Yeah, Haney came in and he said he wrote a hit song. And I can hear it now in my head. It's going to be a blockbuster.
And I'll tell you right now, I won't record it myself. Another artist will have to record
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But I've written the song.
How's it go?
It's going to be a big hit.
What's it say?
It goes like this. There ought to be a law against that body girl. Shake it, shake it, shake it.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
And that's the song.
Yeah, that's magic right there.
There ought to be a law
against
that body girl.
Yeah.
Shake it, shake it, shake it.
Kick ass.
I wonder if I could get that to KC and the Sunshine Band.
They'd do a good job with it. They could use something right about now. Forgot to mention it yesterday. I had a texter text us. So set your DVRs, because you've heard us talking about it recently and over the years. Texter came in. He said, just for your information, the movie A Face in the Crowd is going to be airing Saturday at 4 p.m. on Turner Classic Movies. And he said, I set my DVR because I've been curious about this film ever since you guys started talking about it.
Oh, it's one of the greatest films ever made.
Saturday, 4 p.m. on Turner Classic Movies. So set the DVR. Watch it when you can. It is one of the greatest movies ever made. And still contemporary with what's going on today.
And you won't believe Andy Griffith in that movie.
Yeah, Andy Griffith, you think of, Andy Taylor, a down-home country. No. This guy, no
spectacular.
He plays a heavy. Mean.
Look out for him.
Yep.
He's mean.
Yep. Let's get you updated on traffic.
But he's going to be a free man in the morning.
Free man in the morning.
Free man in the morning. Free man in the morning.
That was a great song.
Oh, it was great music on it, too.
Yep. Let's get you updated.
Now, K-Rock Traffic.
First look at traffic. Just one thing showing up on the board right now in the last half hour. It's a hit and run. North Fort Myers at 5 Mill Loop Road. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's about ready to tell you because he's got today's headlines for you.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
Science.
Science!
Popeye was right about spinach all along.
What do you mean?
Science has backed him up.
It gives you muscles?
Yep.
Incredible strength?
Yep.
Like anvils that pop out of your arms?
Yep.
A pipe that spins around.
Yes, especially when Brutus is after Olive.
Isn't that problematic in today's 21st century that a legendary character like Popeye smokes?
Yes.
That's not to mention that's part of his whole makeup.
Not to mention the fact that his girlfriend slash wife is always being stalked by a rapist.
Yeah. Yep. Brutus.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's Bluto, and sometimes he's Brutus.
Yep. But a nation...
He's not a nice guy.
But a nation of pussies can't understand
no.
that.
No. Popeye, the sailor man, is a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, can't handle that.
Stan, right now, I'd like you to listen to a story about a man named Jed.
Yep. Poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed.
Then one day, when he was shooting at some food...
Up through the ground come a bubbling crude.
What do you mean by that?
Oil, that is. Black gold.
Texas tea. Believe it or not, the Beverly Hillbillies mansion...
Yeah, it's a real mansion.
...is the most expensive home... In America.
Really?
And it's on the market. We'll have the details.
All right.
You know, I'm not even sure if this is considered news anymore, but I'll go ahead and do it. Substitute teacher busted filming porn in the classroom.
Oh, come on, that's normal. But...
Just because you have a demolition derby car doesn't mean that you can run around running into people when you're not on the track.
That's right.
And we'll explain.
Let's hear a story about a man named Jed. Took Ellie Mae in later. And Sorry.
And finally, two drunk women... Save a man from a fire while stumbling home from the bachelorette party.
Ah, jeez.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. the sound of joy. 4 o'clock fluffer time brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, Fort Myers. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Tonight is the first of two nights of highly anticipated...
Yeah, highly.
...debates among Democratic presidential candidates. Now, if you're sane, you know what to do with that information. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
reasons you aren't watching the Democratic debates.
Top reasons you're not watching the Democratic debates.
You're burned out.
Yeah.
It was hard enough keeping track of everybody on Game of Thrones.
Yeah. That's what I hear.
You've already made up your mind to vote for Beyonce. Bernie Sanders' arm motions gives you seizures.
Speaking of giving me seizures.
You don't care about promises of forgiving student debt. You want forgiveness for gambling debts.
You notice how after he flubbed up producing, he hasn't shown up again?
I did notice that.
And he didn't have to do anything.
Thanks to your lingering childhood fear of ventriloquist dummies, you get freaked out every time Mayor Pete talks.
Yeah.
None of the candidates are giving the other ones hilarious nicknames.
No. But Trump is.
You're troubled by the obvious sexual chemistry between Beto and Mayor Pete. You're waiting for the field to slim down to a more manageable 8,000 candidates.
Laugh it up.
Winner don't get a rose.
Nope. Nope.
You don't want to see what happens when Biden inevitably puts his hands on Amy Klobuchar's shoulders.
I don't think he doesn't go till tomorrow night where they match him up with Bernie.
And finally, the very top reason you aren't watching the Democratic debates.
Yes.
You will, but you'll just binge watch them all when they show up on Netflix. Yeah. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
Yeah, I think the biggest name is Pocahontas tonight.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to be on stage. Then Sleepy Joe's tomorrow night and crazy Bernie.
And how does any self-respecting man go around calling himself Beta?
I know. Email time. Ahoy.
You know what?
What?
If you came out and go, "Hi, I'm Alpha O'Rourke, and I'm going to be your president."
Yeah.
He might have a chance.
Yeah, but Beto.
Hi, I'm Beta. I'm a follower, and I'd like to be president.
Yeah, as our president said, what's with the hands? It's moving these hands around.
It's insane.
Yeah, I know.
Is that real, or is that an affectation he's taught himself?
An affectation he's taught himself. That comes from Public Speaking 101 when you're a freshman in college.
So you think he's like a Toastmaster?
Yes. Yes. Stand to the side of the lectern and use hand gestures.
And he took it a little too far.
Yes. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
Okay.
This is from Tom, who... Why do I hear both going at the...
Because you haven't shut it off.
That's me. That's me for a change. I apologize.
Why don't you yell about it?
Damn it, Stan. Get it right. What did you say to me?
Shut the
f- Sorry about that, folks. That was me, and I'm to blame. I don't like admitting it, but it's me. This from Tom. Ahoy, gentlemen. I would start out by saying that if a tree falls in the woods and no one is there, does it make a sound?
No.
The only reason I came across this story is because it was mentioned on Fox News. Apparently, a star female soccer player on Team USA has been kneeling during the national anthem. Yup. Like you, gentlemen, always say all women are crazy and capable of anything. You play for Team USA. But like I mentioned, it would matter if anyone watched soccer or cared about it. Sign Tom. Well, she's already said that if the USA women's soccer team gets invited to the White House, she's not going.
You know what the president said?
What?
Hey, baby.
Kitten.
Why don't you win, and then we'll talk.
Yep.
One thing at a time.
Yep. Sweetheart.
But she thinks that USA on her jersey means yep. United Scissor Association.
Yep. That's what she's looking for. A little scissoring. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Let me take a look at this.
Boy, we need to hear from him, don't we?
We sure do. We got PC Police, BS, NBA.
Does he mention Samantha Power? Because that's the big deal supposed to come out today.
Hold on. Let me see what we got here. Ahoy, gentlemen. Well, here we go. Another huge waste of time. Of course, I'm talking about Mueller being called to testify again. Look, he has already said...
I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know that he knows the answers.
No, he's saying that he's just abiding by a subpoena. And the thing is, here's what I'm excited about. Because you're going to hear the same old stuff with the Democrats. Republicans for the first
time what I'm,
ever.
That is what I am talking about. I don't think he will know how to answer those things because it's all Wiseman.
Yep. This is beneficial for the Republicans than it is, and it's the Democrats. He didn't want to talk. But anyway, let's get back. Testify. Look, he's already said everything he needs to testify and not go beyond what he calls the four corners of the report.
You know, you think about it, and he did his little statement a couple of weeks ago and then had to retract the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, there are a bunch of questions I would like answered, like when did he first realize that it was all BS? We're not going to hear much different info than before. As far as I'm concerned, it's a huge waste of time. So, did you hear that the NBA is going to do away with... Yes, I did. Did you hear that the NBA is going to do away with the term owner?
What?
And go with something like governor or another term.
To refer to the owner of the team?
Owner of the team. Yes, I heard that. The reason the term owner is now being rejected is that they say that it has overtones to slavery. Well, kiss my ass. That's what he says. So what now? Do we eliminate anything that has owner in it? Does that mean no more terms like car owner, home owner, dog owner, or any other term with owner in it? Just more crap dealing with the PC police. Isn't that just effing ridiculous?
It needs to be put to rest.
Of course.
And I think it can be in 2020.
Yep. With four more years. Of course, that's just my opinion. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
Jesus.
We're going to take a break. We are the Stan and Haney Program.
Viciously fracking Southwest Florida's airwaves for decades. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Wednesday afternoon. Going to get you updated on traffic. And then I'll tell you about cancer benefit coming up. And then we got a couple of legends joining us here on the Stan and Haney show this afternoon with the Democratic debate coming up tonight and so many things in the news. I thought we'd bring together two legends of news to discuss current events, and that'll be coming up in just a second. But let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Jet's Pizza bringing it to us. We will start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. Gateway Boulevard and Daniels Parkway. Also, they call this traffic control. Fort Myers, Fowler Street, and Colonial Boulevard. Fort Myers, we got a hit and run. 13,000 block of Golf Club Parkway right by the Signature Healthcare. And in Bonita Springs, a crash. Old 41 Road and West Terry Street. And you are up to date. Benefit concert happening at the ranch this Saturday. And K-Rock invites you for a benefit concert for cancer victims Peter Moss and Richard Beaudry. It's going to be Saturday at the ranch. Doors will open at 7. Featuring In the Light of Led Zeppelin, a really good Led Zeppelin tribute band. Tickets are available now at the ranchfortmyers.com. Mention K-Rock when you buy your tickets at the door and get a $5 discount. All the details on 96krock.com. This is special. You know, if there's a Mount Rushmore of TV journalists, these two would certainly be on there. Both managing editors of their respective networks for many years. I'm talking about Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw. Dan Rather, of course, host of the Access cable show now and the short-lived radio program Rather Not. And, of course, who can forget Tom Brokaw's earth-moving documentary about World War II. I think it was called A Few Good Men. On the phone with us right now, those two giants of media, Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather. Tom, Dan, welcome to the show.
That is my pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Tom. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And I will tell you, I'm talking to you from beautiful Houston, Texas, where it is hotter than a Texas barbecue on the 4th of July.
I believe it. It's hot here in Florida, Dan. Tom, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from New York, and boy, Dan, I can hear that that hot breeze coming right over the telephone.
And you two guys have known each other for decades, right?
I have known Dan going all the way back to the 1960s, and I've always considered him just a wonderful colleague, and I'm proud to call him a friend.
That's good. That's good to hear, Tom. Dan, any feelings about Tom?
Well, I think it goes without saying that Tom is obviously one of the greats in the TV news business.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that he certainly set a very high marker for those that succeeded him. If I had anything at all negative, and I don't, to say, I would have appreciated his support a little bit more during some rough times.
Yeah, Tom, you were still anchoring when Dan had his downfall with the whole President Bush 41 thing.
Well, given that you opened the door to that whole kettle of worms, dare I say it, what Dan managed to do to the credibility of the news media at large, I would say that perhaps Dan Rather would be the originator of this whole fake news.
Ooh, ooh. All right, please. Dan, Tom.
Boy, somebody's got a burr in their bonnet today.
Okay, please. Let's not argue with each other. This is all about friends and talking about today's current events. Both of you gentlemen are aware
Dan. I thought I had the Bush boy dead to right.
But we found out it was false. Okay, please.
Well, why in the world would you even want to do that? I mean, for crying out loud, for Christ's sake, he was a Bozeman. He was on the inside. Well, I didn't know that at the time. As you know, Tom, sometimes our sources it was a poor workman that blamed his fool.
Let's stop talking over each other, gentlemen. Let's talk about current events now. Both of you still stay pretty much on top of things, right?
We're both professionals.
Okay.
Yes.
And Dan, by the way, your Access show, I love it with you interviewing the rock stars. I saw your latest one where you guys were talking to our REO Speedwagon, Dan.
Yes. That's probably the highlight of my career.
Yeah.
Kevin Cronin.
Yeah.
Gary Richrath.
Yeah.
The Flying Turkey Trot.
Yep.
Riding the Storm Out.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, these are REO Speedwagon classics.
Yeah, I know they are.
It seems as though the American public only remembers them for the high infidelity years, but prior to that, they were cranking out more album-oriented rock than you could shake a stick at.
Absolutely. And I know throughout your series, you've interviewed a lot of the greats, Dan. Your Leonard Skinner, your Greg Allman, I know Clapton. You've talked to them all.
Excuse me, Sam. Tom broke off.
Yeah, Tom. I'm not forgetting your work.
If we're going to get into a debate over REO Speedwagon and he's trying to act like he's holier than thou, bringing up earlier REO material, and he doesn't even mention you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish. I think he lost all credibility.
But he has the show. You don't. You have the documentary A Few Good Men. Now, let's talk about tonight.
Well, let's be fair to Tom now. Every once in a while, Rachel Maddow let him sit on his lap.
Okay, please, stop bickering between the two of you.
I wasn't called for, you.
Hey, the Democratic debates. Now, tonight is round one. They got the lesser-known candidates debating. I mean, you've got 24 people, gentlemen, running for the Democratic nomination. Which one of you are smoking? Dan, Tom?
It's not me. Well, okay. It's certainly not me.
Well, somebody's smoking. The debates, yes.
If Peter Jennings were here, I'd blame it on him.
Peter Jennings was a heavy smoker.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
The debate tonight, round one, the higher profile candidates tomorrow night. Is there too many people on the Democratic side, gentlemen, running for president?
Are you asking me?
Either one of you. Tom, Dan, feel free.
If you don't mind, Dan, I'll go ahead with it. I think it's a sign
Why don't we let Dan go first? Because he did pipe up first. Tom, hold that thought and let Mr. Rock and Roll interviewer talk about the debates. Dan?
Thank you, Stan. And I would have mentioned you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish, but somebody was a little eager to jump in there.
Okay.
I'd also point out the REO double live record, which was just incredible, and they never talk about the bassist Bruce Hall, who also took over lead vocals on occasion and was just as integral to the success of the Speedwagon as any of the others. Now, having said that, the Democratic debates.
I saw REO Speedwagon at a rock Super Bowl once, Dan.
Boy, those were the days. Those were the days when you had more loose women than you could shake a stick at, and the cocaine was falling like snowflakes.
Sure was. You remember those days, Tom, don't you?
Absolutely. It was a glorious time. And, you know, obviously, how can you argue with REO Speedwagon? I think it's lazy journalism because they're universally beloved. But, yes, it was a fantastic time. Yep. And I'm very well aware of who Bruce Hall is. And, of course, he did lead vocals on Back on the Road Again. But evidently, Dan couldn't quite recall the song. It was a major rock radio hit.
Thank you. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Tom, I think you're nitpicking now.
This is not what I have you on for.
And if we were to move on into the high infidelity era, there are so many hidden gems there. You know, everybody knows Keep On Loving You, but how many people still can go back and enjoy listening to a classic track like Summer Out of Season?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, gentlemen, yeah, absolutely. You can't go wrong there, Tom.
If I was going to go that route and pick at the low-hanging fruit.
The root.
My God, why would you go with Summer Out of the Season?
Okay, can we get off of this stuff?
When it's obvious you have a classic in Shaking It Loose Tonight off the same record, Dan. Same record. Very disturbing. That's beneath you.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and take that now.
All right, well, neither one of you. Stop bickering and let's go talk about current events.
I'm just about done doing the Texas two-step with Tom Thumb over here.
Okay.
Hey.
Look.
Hey.
Both of you. I understand it. Now, oh, by the way, Dan, I was always wondering, because you were in Dallas that day in November of 1963, you saw it, you did reports on CBS on the Warren Commission, and not once did you ever say back and to the left. And you kept that from the public until the Zapruder film came out. You said no such thing.
He knew damn well what was going on, but you know what? When you're known as Cronkite's butt boy, there's not much you can do about it. Then they sent him to Nam.
They did. They did.
Now, Tom, maybe you don't know this. I thought that you might have, but sometimes there are things that you see as a journalist that are inconsistent with what the public needs to know.
Well, why would you set judgment on what the public needs to know, Dan? Shouldn't the facts have come out that it was obvious by that film, which you saw back in 63, and nobody got a chance to see
back
for decades?
And to his left.
Back and to the left.
Back and to the left, Dan. Well, if anyone has seen Abraham Zapruder's film, it's quite obvious that the president's head makes a very distinct movement. Now, keep an eye on Governor Connolly here, because that's where you, right about here, if we can slow it down, back and to the left.
Yeah, now you say it.
Back and to the left.
Yep.
Now you say it.
Yeah, now. That's right. That's right, Tom. Didn't say it back then. You were towing the government line.
Yeah, you were always a sellout, rather.
Now.
Well, make sure you don't ask them about James Earl Ray, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and that was another thing. Let me ask you this, Dan. You went on the air after the Martin Luther King assassination, referring to a white man shooting Dr. Martin Luther King. We didn't know that until months later when he was captured in England. He got out of the country before we even knew who it was. Why did you go forward and say that?
Saying that was never the plan. Ray went what law enforcement calls rabbit. And that was never part of the plan. Now, how am I to be blamed? I'm following the script. I'm saying exactly what
script.
I should be saying.
This is what cost you the CBS Evening News, and you had to do that short-lived radio show, Rather Not. Remember that, Dan? We carried it.
I do recall I do recall that. And quite frankly, when you sat in a big chair, anywhere you go is only one direction, muchacho.
Okay, right.
You're sitting,
that's down.
Yeah. Okay. I'm running out of time here. What?
I'd like to thank REO Speedwagon for treating me with the dignity that seemed to escape you and Mr. Brokaw.
Now, look, I've got just about a minute
left. You know you deserve it, Dan.
If the two of you'd stop sniping at each other, I'd like some closing comments from both of you. Tom?
Gary Rich Rath called me Dan Rather the big pussy.
Dan?
Well, Kevin Cronin told me it'll be a cold day in hell before he takes another phone call from Tom Brokaw.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. We'll be back.
We've got our finger on the pulse of our numerous enemies. Where's your finger? Excuse me. Stan and Haney in the afternoon, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. You know, when it rains, it pours with me. You know, we know a lot of people in the hotel business, and I got it taken care of. Well, I hope.
Because you are always responsible and on top of things.
So, I'm booking a hotel in Tampa because I'm going to go up and see the ELO concert during vacation. I booked this hotel, major chain hotel, I won't mention the name, major chain, said... completely renovated, updated rooms, walking distance from Amalie Arena. Opening with the new hotel, June the 29th. Mine, my reservation, isn't until July 7th. I just got a call during the break from the home office of the hotel chain.
You know, you are the most responsible person I know. Everything's taken care of well ahead of time.
I booked this over a month ago because there's not going to be a hotel room to be had.
And you knew this, so you didn't want the stress, and you took care of it early.
Hi, Mr. Stan. This is the major home office of the hotel chain that you booked. Renovations are running a little late. Our advice to you is to book another room.
What?
I swear to God. What? And I called the number.
So you'd like me to take my business elsewhere?
Elsewhere. So I called the number to the Tampa hotel.
Sure it's not racism?
It could be. Where I have the reservation. I called the hotel's local number. And it's a recording. Here's what it says.
Your call is important. To us?
Yep, it did say that. Our newly renovated hotel, which we are so proud of, will be open on June the 29th. Great. My reservation isn't until the 7th. But it was a recording. So then
but your call is important to them.
So then I called the number that called me, the home office, and I said, why did I get this message? Talk to the same person that left the message on my phone.
That's unusual.
Yeah. Said, we're not too sure that the renovations of the hotel are going to be done in time. You may want to book another room. I've already prepaid for this room a month ago.
You've got my money.
You've got my money. Let me pull up that. Yes, we do have your money. We'll be more than happy to refund you that money if you'd like to go and book another room. Because we checked for our people that have booked rooms. Are you up for the concert? Yes. You may want to try this place because we don't know if we're going to be open. Well, when will you know if you're going to be open? We should know on Friday, but by Friday, chances are that you won't have any rooms. We won't have any rooms available in the area. You are coming up for the concert. Yes. They're telling me to book. She said, backup. You should have a backup room booked. I should. And we saw that you have, they have some availabilities at this other hotel. Just as a backup. I said, but you already got my money. What am I going to do? Plank down more money? Well, you can cancel and we'll refund. So what?
This is me.
Your call is important to us.
Jeez. Damn telephone line.
Is it going to be okay, Stan? Is it going to be okay?
I don't know. If you pick up that telephone, I get a recording. We're due to open on June 29th. Hi, this is the home office. You may want to book another room for the July 7th date you have with us. You up for the concert? Rooms are going fast.
You need to call her back and accuse her of racism. And you will get the red carpet. They'll pay for everything.
Unbelievable.
They don't need to know you're white.
No, because I'm just simply problematic.
Yep. You just call them up and you go, yes, this is Stan. I spoke to you a couple of moments ago, and, you know, I hate for it to come to this, but I feel like I need to ask you, are you racist? Is that why this is happening to me? And watch them fall all over themselves.
Yeah. So I don't know if I have a room.
That's how you get a room. They'll book it for you. They'll book it at a 5-star. Just to get you away from them.
I want all inquiries made. Now I got to go home and... This was taken care of.
This was it right here.
I got to have a confirmation number and everything.
This is what happened right here. Yeah, get this taken care of. Your call is important to us. God, I hate that.
Up at the home office, way up in the Northeast, I spoke with Lindsay, the local Tampa branch. I have the recording that everything is up and running as of June 29th.
I'm sure Lindsay is a fine little SJW who would move heaven and earth to prove that she's not racist.
Let's do some traffic.
You know what? I expect this from other hotel chains, but I've never had this problem before.
Yeah. And I think, I have to check, I might be a rewards member there.
And you should, you know, totally do that and throw in the fact that you're a gay minority. Traveling with your husband. We're both people of color.
I know we could. I can't do that. Me, I can't say that.
I'll do it for you.
Okay. I'll give you the number.
Yes.
Let's do some traffic for your drive home.
Oh, God. Now, K-Rock traffic.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The only thing on the board right now that's still showing up is a crash from earlier, about an hour earlier, Gateway Boulevard and Daniels Parkway. And you are up to date. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is World News Tonight with Max Robinson in Chicago. Peter Jennings in London, who is on assignment tonight. Barbara Walter, special reports. Tonight, a comment from Howard K. Smith. And from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, June 26th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Right.
You know, we hear a lot about income inequality and whatnot. Sometimes it's helpful just to look at numbers. We think about our working life. What was minimum wage when we started out?
I tell you, mine, I believe, was $2.35. Might have been $2.35. Went up to $2.65. Then it went to $2.70.
Yeah. if minimum wage had grown at the same rate as Wall Street bonuses,
yeah,
the current minimum wage would be $33 an hour.
That's good. Can work with that.
Yeah, but it doesn't exist.
No.
They're doing okay.
Yeah, they are.
They're doing well.
Sure.
Everybody wants to live on a cul-de-sac.
Yeah. That's the way it was on Knott's Landing, remember? They lived on a cul-de-sac.
It's what I call the Knott's Landing effect.
Yep.
And it sounds nice, doesn't it?
Sure does.
I live on a little cul-de-sac.
Yeah. Gated community, little cul-de-sac.
But does anybody know what cul-de-sac really means?
No, I don't. What does it mean? Cul-de-sac.
When dealing with a French person and you say, oh, yes, I live on a cul-de-sac,
yeah,
they will hear you as saying, yes, I live at the butt of the bag.
Okay. Well, sac, bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more made-up real estate nonsense.
Sounds good, though.
Yeah, it does. You like watermelon?
Love watermelon.
Well, maybe you can become a watermelon snob. There is a rare type of watermelon, solid black, grows on an island in Japan. Only about 10,000 are produced every year. You know how much those watermelons go for?
How much?
On average, $250.
I'd like to see what one of them looks like. They're black?
Yeah, I bet they're tasty.
Oh, I bet you they are too. You know, and it's a gamble with a watermelon. I'll go to the grocery store, or I'll go like to the flea market where they have the watermelons. And sometimes you'll cut into them, and they are just the juiciest.
Heaven.
Other times they taste like nothing. And you don't know until you cut it open. Is that the black watermelon right there? Look at that.
I bet it's good.
I bet you it's really good. Does Publix carry it? Oh, look at it. I mean, inside it looks like regular watermelon. The skin is black.
I bet it protects it better.
Yep. Well, probably keeps it warmer.
Wonder why it only grows on that one
darker
island.
Darker the berry, the sweeter the fruit. That's what they say, right?
You know what? That's how we make our $1 million.
What?
Everything else we don't want grows here. Why wouldn't that?
I would assume it's some special soil and climate that allows that to grow. You know, we can't grow Kona coffee here.
Why not?
It grows in the volcanic soil of Hawaii.
Oh. So it's just things we don't want that run wild here.
Correct.
You know, why is that the story of our life?
Look, I'm fighting just to get a hotel room. There are tons of hotels. I go and find the desirable location, new and renovated.
And you book it months ahead of time.
Yep. And now I'm told by Lindsay at the home office, book somewhere else.
And when you book somewhere else, you go, okay, and what's your room rate? Oh, our room rate. You're talking about for the ELO show?
Yeah.
Sold out, mother.
Yep. I'm just going to go, and I don't know if I can to do this. I'll do it maybe before the last break. I want to see. I know what I paid for the room up there in Tampa. I want to see what the going rate pre-concert is at the one they want me to go to.
I think the rate would have been less months ago.
I think it would have been.
And that's fine. We actually have a couple of minutes here because before I do this next story.
Yeah.
I have to have a brief explanation.
All right.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oh, that is black gold, Texas tea.
Ah, there it is. it's about double.
Mm-hmm.
It's about double.
Sorry for the inconvenience.
Double.
Well, the first thing you know...
Sorry, I'm not spending $400 for a room.
Move away from there. He said California is the place you ought to be. So he loaded up the...
Can you believe it?
That's Stanlock.
Yeah.
Hills, that is.
Swimming pools.
Movie stars. Well, there you have the story of the Beverly Hillbillies, and oh boy, did America love them, because they moved out to a mansion in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fast forward to 2019, and the Beverly Hillbillies home, that mansion that Drysdale got them.
Yeah, with the cement pond.
Is the most expensive home in the United States of America.
Oh, that's crazy talk.
It is located in Bel Air, California, and yes, it is the house the Clampetts moved into on the Beverly Hillbillies. And guess what? It's on the market. And there's some good news.
How much?
It just got cheaper. It was listed in Rocktober for $245 million.
Whoa!
But the price was just reduced by $50 million to a much more affordable $195 million. What a steal.
Yeah. Knock that price down, because it's too damn high.
Now, if you're wondering, what kind of house do you get for $195 million?
I've seen the show. I've seen it. It looks nice.
Well, just to review then, it's an 11-bedroom, 18-bathroom home on 10.4 acres in Bel Air.
Well, that's so Ellie May can have her critters. Look at that.
Just like we remember it.
Yeah.
And there's a cement pond.
Right there.
It has a 40-car garage, a 75-foot cement pond, tennis court, 12,000-bottle wine cellar, and a heapin' helpin' of hospitality. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Jason and Todd want to light up your 4th of July and celebrate big this year. Visit the Diamond District in Estero at Coconut Point July 1st through 7th and take advantage of 5 years interest-free financing. That's right, 5 years interest-free financing. If you purchase beautiful 2-carat total weight diamond stud earrings for $6,000, your payment would only be $99 per month and you're paying zero interest. Maybe you'll fall in love with a stunning new diamond ring or bracelet for $2,500. Your payment would be just $42 per month and zero interest. Now is the perfect time to visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. With the largest selection of gorgeous fashion diamond jewelry, more GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida, and over 3,000 engagement rings to choose from, all with 5 years interest-free financing July 1st through 7th, you simply won't find a better diamond buying experience than with Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
At the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Oh, sorry.
Hello.
Sorry, I had the
Yes, I'm calling about my reservation.
Yeah.
It's got me rattled. And I got 15 people trying to get in touch with me. You know who just tried calling me?
Dice Clay?
Well, Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid asked me if I want that.
Yeah. Can I say Bill? Well,
yes.
I think I said it off mic.
That's it, yeah.
Bill. There's a 34-year-old gent named Stanley Payne Jr.
Jeez.
He makes his home in Springwater, upstate New York. Last week, Stanley was a bit upset when he saw someone had parked in front of his house and the tire was just a bit on his lawn. Well, Stanley is a firm believer that a man needs hobbies. Stanley's hobby? Demolition derby racing.
Nice.
So when someone had the nerve,
the
unmitigated gall, to have a tire peeking over on his lawn, parking in front of his domicile, he did the only thing he could do.
What's that?
He fired up his demolition derby car and smashed the car to smithereens.
Wow.
For some reason, despite Stanley Payne Jr.'s perfectly reasonable response, he was somehow arrested for felony criminal mischief just because he smashed that car that parked in front of his house in the next week.
Yeah, that's Floritam grass right there. You know how much that costs a pallet?
Well, people don't even think about it.
Nope, they don't. And you better have proper watering deals to that'll burn right out.
You're talking about Stanley Payne Jr. You think he doesn't know how to care for a Floritam lawn?
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, remember that movie Backdraft?
Yeah, the Ron Howard film about the fireman.
The fireman saved the day, but because he was allegedly drunk when he was saving lives, he got in big trouble.
That was the Denzel Washington flying the jet film.
Same idea.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is, if you think about it logically, drunk people are not necessarily bad people, but drunk people often find themselves in locations at times that nobody else is around.
That's true.
A 21-year-old in England named Kaylee Brown was all excited for her upcoming wedding.
Ah.
And last Sunday was her bachelorette party.
There we go.
And one of her best friends is Harriet Brown.
Okay.
They had both been drinking.
Yeah, bachelorette party. They're having fun.
They were walking home at 3 a.m. when they saw smoke coming from a random apartment. And even though they were both admittedly quite tipsy, they still managed to save the day. As Kaylee called for help, Harriet went to the back door and heard a man yelling for help. She broke in, made her way upstairs, and found a man in his 70s trapped who could not get out. She got him down the stairs and saved his life. Now, he must have been a bit disoriented because he told the girls there was also a small child upstairs.
What?
Harriet went back in and searched for this child until she nearly passed out from the smoke. Luckily, the child was made up.
Yeah.
Didn't exist.
Dementia.
Harriet says it was just her instincts kicking in. and she doesn't think she did anything special. Quote, anyone would have done what we did. Well, I think anyone would unless they stopped and thought about the legal jeopardy they were putting themselves in.
Yep. They could have gotten themselves sued good. And the fact of the matter is, she's kicking in a door which creates a backdraft, which will cause the fire to expand.
How do you know this?
I read and I saw that movie, Backdraft. I know.
And what's it called?
Backdraft.
Oh, I see.
Ron Howard production.
And to his left.
That's what happens when you open up the
back
door.
Yeah, and to his left.
It feeds
back
oxygen.
Back and to the left.
It feeds oxygen. Left. What?
Back and to his left.
That's right.
There he is.
And
little Monkey Haney
today,
going it.
June 26th. Like
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchor, man.
There he is. Little Monkey Haney telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news.
That was really upsetting what you had going on earlier between Brokaw and Rather.
No kidding.
I hate it when mom and dad fight.
Yep. We'll be back.
You could be our next big winner. But realistically speaking, the odds are overwhelmingly against you. Thanks for listening to the Stan and Haney Show on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Rob's show is going to come up at 6 o'clock. He's going to take you through your evening. We've got one more. Of course, it's raining outside.
Pouring.
So, yeah, and that means a lot of traffic.
Yeah, double that room rate, huh?
Yeah. I want something done here. Well, yeah, I got to call up and say it's
racist. Another word you could use is, I want some effing satisfaction.
Yep.
That works, too.
Yep. Now, K-Rock traffic. It's busy out there. Here we go. Let's start in beautiful Boquilla. Got a crash. Stringfellow Road and Villas Way. North Fort Myers. Crash. Littleton Road and North Cleveland Avenue. Yeah, here we go. Fort Myers. Crash. Camelot Drive and McGregor Boulevard. Crash. Big Pine Way and Daniels Parkway. Crash. Fort Myers. Daniels Parkway and Treeline Avenue. And in Lehigh Acres, a crash. Alabama Road South and State Road 82. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Every crowd, there's always a percentage of you out there that had it really good growing up, right? Parents bought you everything, spoiled you. Rich kids, you know who you are. I'll find you. Because I didn't have it like that, but I had the, you know, friends that did. When I went to school, I just wanted to fit in with my rich little friends. And I would fit in most of the days of the school year. But then that one day would come every year that reminded me I was the poor kid. Picture day. Remember picture day? Because you knew who the rich kids were, right? Right up at the front of the line. Packet A. Yeah, see, some of you know what packet A is. 15 10 by 12s, 32 5 by 7s, 6 friggin' posters. I was way back at the end of the line, not even standing in the school anymore. It was packet Q. And it was one picture. And it was a Polaroid of the rich kid. I hated the rich kids. And I'd go to my friend's house in the summertime. This would get me. I had the friends who would get those good flavor ice freeze pops. You know, sometimes you cut the top off, you push them up. I wanted them, you know. Ask my parents to get me some, you know. Like, we're not getting you crap. You want some freeze pops? We'll make you some freeze pops. Go get the ice tray, right? Little toothpick in each one. On freeze pops, the poverty pops.
Have yourselves a great evening. Stay dry. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this.
This is special. You know, if there's a Mount Rushmore of TV journalists, these two would certainly be on there. Both managing editors of their respective networks for many years. I'm talking about Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw. Dan Rather, of course, host of the Access cable show now and the short-lived radio program Rather Not. And, of course, who can forget Tom Brokaw's earth-moving documentary about World War II. I think it was called A Few Good Men. On the phone with us right now, those two giants of media, Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather. Tom, Dan, welcome to the show.
That's my pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Tom. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And I will tell you, I'm talking to you from beautiful Houston, Texas, where it is hotter than a Texas barbecue on the 4th of July.
I believe it. It's hot here in Florida, Dan. Tom, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from New York, and boy, Dan, I can hear that hot breeze coming right over the telephone.
And you two guys have known each other for decades, right?
I have known Dan going all the way back to the 1960s, and I've always considered him just a wonderful colleague. And I'm proud to call him a friend.
That's good. That's good to hear, Tom. Dan, any feelings about Tom?
Well, I think it goes without saying that Tom is obviously one of the greats in the TV news business.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that he certainly set a very high marker for those that succeeded him. If I had anything at all negative, and I don't, to say, I would have appreciated his support a little bit more during some rough times.
Yeah, Tom, you were still anchoring when Dan had his downfall with the whole President Bush 41 thing.
Well, given that you opened the door to that whole kettle of worms, dare I say it, what Dan managed to do to the credibility of the news media at large, I would say perhaps Dan Rather would be the originator of this whole fake news.
Ooh. All right, please. Dan, Tom.
Boy, somebody's got to burn their bonnet today.
Okay. By the way, Dan, I was always wondering, because you were in Dallas that day in November of 1963. You saw it. You did reports on CBS on the Warren Commission, and not once did you ever say back and to the left. And you kept that from the public until the Zapruder film came out. You said no such thing.
He knew damn well what was going on, but you know what? When you're known as Cronkite's butt boy, there's not much you can do about it. Then they sent him to Nam.
They did.
Now, Tom, maybe you don't know this. I thought that you might have, but sometimes there are things that you see as a journalist that are inconsistent with what the public needs to know.
Well, why would you set judgment on what the public needs to know, Dan? Shouldn't the facts have come out that it was obvious by that film, which you saw back in 63, and nobody got a chance to see
back
for decades?
Back and to his left.
Back and to the left.
Back and to the left, Dan. Well, if anyone has seen Abraham Zapruder's film,
uh-huh,
it's quite obvious that the president's head makes a very distinct movement. Now, keep an eye on Governor Connolly here, because that's where you, right about here, if we can slow it down, back
and to the left.
Yeah, now you say it.
Back and to the left. Yep. Now you say it.
Yeah, now. That's right. That's right, Tom. Didn't say it back then. You were towing the government line.
Yeah, you were always a sellout, rather.
Now.
Well, make sure you don't ask them about James Earl Ray, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and that was another thing. Let me ask you this, Dan. You went on the air after the Martin Luther King assassination, referring to a white man shooting Dr. Martin Luther King. We didn't know that until months later when he was captured in England. He got out of the country before we even knew who it was. Why did you go forward and say that?
Saying that was never the plan. Ray went what law enforcement calls rabbit. And that was never part of the plan. Now, how am I to be blamed? I'm following the script. I'm saying exactly what
script.
I should be saying.
If the two of you'd stop sniping at each other, I'd like some closing comments from both of you. Tom?
Gary Richrath told me Dan Rather is a big pussy.
Dan?
Well, Kevin Cronin told me it'll be a cold day in hell before he takes another phone call from Tom Brokaw.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.